good service with a wink and a nod. You meet a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Go, Bob. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Why did my producer just put a can of sardines here? What's with the can of sardines? What's with the sardines? Oh, I see. I see. The second story here is an animal rights story. Hey, you guys are sharp. I gotta admit, talk about never missing a beat. Whenever we do an animal rights story on the show, tradition has it that we eat extra animals that day. Wait, this isn't sardines, right? What is this? Sardines? All right, the label's off. All right, so I have to eat some of these sardines when we do the second story. Is that right? Okay. It's a PETA story. You know that animal rights group, people eating tasty animals? Jesus liked animals. He cooked animals, ate lamb, cooked fish, just your general carnivore. Hey, our number 1-800-8-INYART. But first this, ACLU opposes anti-terrorism plan. The ACLU opposes the anti-terrorism plan. Now, I purposely did not read this article. Just the headline. This is a Reuters story. I didn't read the article because I wanted to experience it with you, those of you in the audience. And just from the headline, I know that I support the anti-terrorism plan. ACLU opposes anti-terrorism plan, and I support it. I don't know what it is, but the ACLU is such an excellent barometer on if they're against something, it's probably a good thing. Probably. So let's find out. All right, so here's a new anti-terrorism plan released yesterday. The ACLU is against it. U.S. unveils fingerprint plan. A fingerprint plan. Well, right off the bat, that sounds good to me. Now, people who are inclined to commit crimes don't want anything about them known, and they have this fear that they want to remain anonymous. Well, I don't understand that. Even, you know, conservatives do this. Conservatives who they're scared to death for the government to know that they exist. I'm not putting my name on any list. What are you talking about? Oh, they'll know who I am. Who's they? The government. Oh, the government will know who you are. What are you, a goof? They'll know who I am. What if you were around at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence? And they'd say, all right, come on, sign it. Oh, no, I'm not putting my name on any list. Oh, no. Or at least not if I have to use lowercase letters. I mean, just what are you talking about? Just put your name on the list. Stand up and be counted. Well, anyway, conservatives, for some reason, act as though there's a principle that maybe is enshrined in the Ten Commandments that says you have a right to be anonymous. Where do you get that right from? The right to be anonymous. I don't get that. At any rate, let's see what the plan is that I support. The U.S. Attorney General said that the U.S. government will fingerprint, photograph, and register about 100,000 foreign visitors during the first year of an anti-terrorism effort. Hey, that sounds fine. You know, we have been matching criminals with suspects almost by accident now that we have DNA evidence. They call them blind hits, where when they get people arrested for felonies, they take a DNA sample and they put it in a DNA databank, a federal databank, and they have physical evidence from crimes dating back decades, and gradually they're putting that evidence, whether it's tissue samples or blood or bodily fluids. They're putting that, look at this, somebody's grilling a London broil as we speak. Now that sounds better than a few sardines. All right, that's an instant message. We'll get to that. So they take a criminal's DNA, now they digitize it, get it down to zeros and ones, put it in a national data bank, and then they have evidence from a crime, perhaps a rape from 10, 20 years ago. They enter that, they do a DNA sampling on that, enter it into the same data bank, and voila, there's a match. Here's this guy sitting in jail, and here's this woman that he raped 10 years ago. They didn't even know his name. They didn't know where he lived. They didn't know who he was, and now they know he did it, you know, with a high degree of certainty. So that stuff is great. Of course, liberals are against a federal DNA data bank. But if we had a DNA data bank that was for the entire country, everyone, then what crime could we almost eliminate? What crime could we almost completely eliminate? Rape. Almost completely eliminate it. At least no guy would do it unless he knew he would be identified. And that would eliminate, you know, most likely 99% of rapes. But, you know, liberals, well, and I'll grant it, and stupid conservatives, liberals would, they're willing to sacrifice an unlimited number of women on the altar of privacy for the rapist. Now, maybe they want privacy for their own DNA, too, but why? They say, well, don't you know the government has access to that DNA? Well, the government has access to nuclear weapons. I mean, so? So what? Conservatives say, do you know the government is building camps in Wyoming? What are you talking about? You know, there are too many Looney Tunes on the right. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. All right, so the program consists of primarily fingerprinting and photographing immigrants. And let's see here. The Attorney General said this system will expand America's scrutiny of foreign visitors who may pose a national security concern. So now here's an opposition from a top Democrat in Washington. In fact, this guy's he's on the House Judiciary Committee. He's Congressman John Conyers. Now, people listening to this from WHME in South Bend, Indiana, Michigan, that's right up the road, right, from South Bend. And there are plenty of people in Michigan tuning in to Bob and Yurt Live right now. Even though our flagship station is in Denver, KLTT, 670 AM in Denver, 50,000 watts. And I pastor Denver Bible Church, which you're invited to stop by whether you're visiting or you live here. But so people in Michigan are tuning in, and you guys might know about John Conyers, but it seems to me that Michigan is especially filled with ignorant politicians. Is that true? All right, Bob and Yurt here, live commercial break. No pre-recorded spots here. You ever wonder about that? Pre-recorded. What other kind of recording is there? Pre-recorded. This is a pre-recorded. I would think it's pre if it's recorded. Well, anyway, this is a live commercial break, and I'd like to tell you about our monthly Bible studies. You know, we had somebody order a monthly Bible study today and yesterday. They're $24.95. When we get excited when people order a monthly Bible study, because that is the number one way that our listeners have enabled this ministry to continue, to press on, to keep fighting, and even to grow, to reach more people. So here's an instant message here. I wonder if I could read it while I do the spot. So what we'd like to tell you about is how you can participate in our monthly Bible study group. Every Sunday night at Denver Bible Church, I present a Bible study. Right now, we're in the book of Romans, chapter 7. In fact, this Sunday night, oh boy, will it be fun. We're up to the point where Christians debate Paul's struggle. Because Paul is saying, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do. And why is it that I'm doing the things I'd rather not do? You know, the sinful things. Why is there this battle? And so some Christians say that battle, Paul is describing that battle before he was a Christian. Others say, no, it's a battle ongoing after Paul was saved. So which is it? Well, come Sunday night in Denver, Denver Bible Church, or call us, get the tapes, 1-888-8-NYART. That's the order line and the call-in line, 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, so Michigan's Congressman John Conyers, he's against this. He says that this program will only serve to further alienate the American Muslim community. And no, and that's a verbatim quote, according to Reuters. This program will only serve to further alienate the American Muslim community. I would, if I was an American Muslim, if I were, and if I had, if I were me, but I happen to be, well, American Muslim, can't we just say American Middle Eastern? I can't quite put my shoes, myself in the shoes of a Muslim. You know, it's hard to imagine. What is it like to be utterly deceived? That's hard to do. So let me just say, if I were an American of Middle Eastern descent, nationality, ethnicity, origins, lineage, then I would be all for this. I'd be all for it. Yeah, I'm my background nationally, what am I? I have to ask my mother, what am I? I'm half Italian. And the other part, German, maybe a little Dutch, French, English a little bit, but mostly Italian and German. Italian, Dutch, German. So for the most part, I was on the wrong side of World War II. World War II, we fought against the Italians and the Germans. And here I am, well, I was on the wrong side. But would I have said, hey, don't land in Sicily. That's my relatives. Don't bomb Berlin. That's where my great-great-great-grandfather lived. No, I'd say target his house. I mean, if that's the enemy, go after the enemy. I don't care if I'm related to the enemy. I don't care if the enemy is my first cousin. If he's the enemy, he's the enemy. So anyway, I would think that the American Muslim community would be happy about this if... You know, if they had wisdom. But notice that John Conyers, come on now, if you're in Michigan, you've got to take some responsibility for this guy. He said this program will only serve to alienate these Muslims. Only? That's the only thing it'll do? With fingerprint 100,000 foreigners, hopefully a disproportionate number of male Middle Eastern men. And the only thing it will do? Isn't there a chance it might help us find a few criminals? Maybe? Further an investigation or two? There's 100,000 of these guys. All right, so anyway. Oh, by the way, Michigan. Yeah, I see. Somebody from Michigan is upset. Instant messenger. What I said about Michigan. What did I say? What did I say about Michigan? But right before the break, I said Michigan seems to have more than its fair share of ignorant politicians. Well, I have a good memory. I was blessed with a good memory on some things, not on like birthdays and anniversaries. No, actually, when it comes to my own anniversary, don't worry, I have a good memory for that. But I remember the Michigan's chief mental health expert. The state has had a, still has, I'm sure, but this was from the late 1990s. The Michigan's chief mental health authority, the chief officer for the whole state. I remember something he said, and I read it on TV the day it was news. He was talking about punishing criminals for crimes, and he was 100% against punishing a rapist for his crime. Completely against it. And he said this. He said, "It is, you have to be mentally ill to want to punish a criminal." So if there's a rapist, murderer, child molester, murderer, if you want to punish him, Michigan's chief mental health officer says that you must be mentally ill. How's that for Michigan? You tell me that the inmates are not running the asylum in Michigan. Come on. That's just too much. Well, anyway, so here's John Conyers saying the only thing this program will do, the only thing, right. And now we get to it. The ACLU calls the plan discriminatory. I would hope it'd be discriminatory. What are we going to focus on? 80-year-old women from Kenya? Is that where the threat is coming? Or do all the terrorists happen to be Muslims? I'd say all the terrorists happen to be Muslims. So we could sort of spread out our resources evenly, and we could spend an equal amount of effort looking at Australians and Taiwanese. We can do that. Maybe, you know, maybe we should have a little extra effort looking at those Canadians. You can't really trust them anyway. But come on, I would hope we'd be discriminatory and use some discrimination and use our brains. So the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. Now, what does that really stand for, ACLU? All criminals love us, especially terrorists. All criminals love us. Or what else does it stand for? Anti-Christian Litigation Unit. What else does it stand for? Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. What else? ACLU said that that this program is discriminatory. Yeah, well, I hope so. U.S. officials were aware of complaints that the plan amounted to a form of profiling because it targeted primarily Middle Eastern men. Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, what are we going to target? Pygmy women? Come on, of course we're going to target Middle Eastern men. I mean, that's like the stupidest thing in the world. How stupid can liberals be? So U.S. officials were aware of the complaints because the program amounted to a form of profiling because it targeted mainly Middle Eastern men. You know, the program does not put any special emphasis on infants and toddlers. And really, that shows age discrimination. Really, if we're going to be liberal about this, you should have an equal effort investigating every age group. So the U.S. officials denied that was the intent and defended the measure as necessary after the September 11th attacks. So they did not, let me see if I can understand this. Sometimes our own government is just bewildering. Let's see. Our government, which right now is a Republican government, our Republican government denied that the intent of the program was to target mainly Middle Eastern men. Now, why would that be? It's mainly Muslims and mainly Middle Eastern men that are the terrorists. So why would that be? I just don't understand. Okay. All right. The Atheist Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. That came from a caller. Now, that was hardly worth calling about. Really. Now, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right. Now, what else do we have? Okay, here we have the Asynchronous Civil Liberties Union. See what I mean? You just, if Oops. That was an excellent suggestion. That was one of the best I've heard for the ACLU. Okay. All right. Now we get to PETA. And here's PETA. What, you're telling me you want the sardines on their own microphone? Is that what you're telling me? Okay. All right. So PETA is accusing a circus of spying. That's really funny. This is a funny story. You know, PETA is this animal rights group. Whenever we do an animal rights story here on Bobbing It Live, we encourage everyone in the audience, and of course, I do my part to lead the way, to that day eat extra animals. Whenever there's an animal rights story in the news, eat extra animals. And I don't mean another hamburger at McDonald's, because when you eat a hamburger, you're only eating a small fraction of an animal. When you have a plate of shrimp, I tell you, when you go to New Orleans, eat in one of those Cajun restaurants, it's carnage. We've had as many as 300 animals give up their lives for a single meal at one table. 300 animals. Now, here we go. We're going to open the sardine can. And, all right. Okay. Oh, boy, these sardines look good. All right. Now, before I do the story of PETA, the People Eating Tasty Animals group, before I do the story, I have to, by policy, eat one of these sardines. So here I go. Mmm, they're good. They're nice and thick. Mmm. 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 You know, I got to tell you here. I just thought of what my mother always said. My mother always used to tell me, Robert, don't talk with your mouth full on national radio. So I forgot that for a moment. But anyway, okay. Now I've eaten one animal, each sardine. Now let me make this clear for the public school teachers in the audience. Each sardine is a separate animal. Each sardine is a separate animal. So in this can right here, there, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five. Now, these are big sardines. You know, some cans are small. These are big. Five, and the one I just ate, that's six animals, a half a dozen animals in this little can. So before the end of the show, I think I'll eat another one. Okay. Now, here's the story. 1-800-8-N-YART. 1-800-836-9278. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals contends in a lawsuit that top officials of Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, have paid a former top CIA operative to spy on the organization. That is so cool. That is great. You know, PETA, what does PETA do? They spy on everybody. And they're goofy. All right, let's go to where are we in Colorado here? Greg, speak your mind.
This is Craig in Sedalia.
Sedalia. Hello, Craig. How are you?
I don't know if you remember me but I'm renting Randy's place up here in Sedalia.
Craig, I remember you. I could picture you. I certainly remember you.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great, sir.
You seem to be doing well. You've gone a ways here.
Yeah, and, hey, Craig, now that we're on KLTT, our flagship station in Denver, at this 7 o'clock hour, 7 to 8, KLTT is at 50,000 watts for half the year for us, and we cover all of Colorado and get into most of the surrounding states.
Well, so, I don't know if you cover all of Colorado, but I'm glad to see you're back on live.
Well, we do, but, hey, if you know of an area we're not in, let us know.
You're coming in pretty clear over here.
Yeah, Sedalia. Tell people in New York State where Sedalia is.
Kind of southwest of Denver in the foothills.
Yeah. About how far?
Probably 30, 35 miles.
Yeah, into the foothills. Beautiful, beautiful country.
We've been having a tough time lately. Thank God he gave us some rain here lately.
All right. Hey, Craig, we're going to take a break, and then if you'd like to hold on, we'll be right back. All right. Live commercial break, bottom of the hour, internet only. Now, here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to name all of our videos and describe each one to you in this one short commercial break. So here we go. We've got our smash hit, Get Out of the Matrix, where I got to debate an entire philosophy class in a college and their dimwit professor. Then we've got Bob Debates Predestination, which was moderated by John Mangopoulos. Fun story. Fun video. I debated a guy named Brian Schwartley, Pastor Schwartley. The Bible Tour of Israel. Join us as we traveled around Israel and talked about the implications, historical and archaeological implications of the different sites to the story of the Bible. God and the death penalty. That's the New Testament support for capital punishment. Mount Moriah, the historical and geographic evidence for the resurrection. Morality, why God forbids sexual immorality, Bob's testimony. Sex Has a Price Tag by Pam Stenzel. She does a great video. We have two videos we haven't done, that one and Mount St. Helens by Dr. Stephen Austin's. Dr. Stephen Austin, great, great video. Okay, what else we got here? A Divorce and Remarriage. In that video, we use Bible verses that most Christians have never heard of. Great Bible verses on what does the Bible teach about divorce and remarriage. Then we have The Trouble with Lawyers, Bob versus the Publicans. Remember Jesus, he didn't like the lawyers? And we're just trying to be Christ-like. We don't like the lawyers. All right, what else? Bob on Drugs, that's when a heroin addict called in. Video Fruitcake, that's a compendium of a number of just the typical wacko callers we have on the TV show. Now it's the radio show, right? But the Best of Bob Benyar Presents, that's 12 shows we did in Denver, half-hour shows. Most people around the country never saw them. Bob Debates an ACLU Lawyer, that was fun. Subtitled Christians 3, Liberals 0. Amy's Call. Now, Amy thought she was good enough to get to heaven, but she used to sleep around and had a child out of wedlock, pretty selfish. Megan's Call, who supported child killing. Terry's Call, a homosexual in Knoxville, Tennessee. But Terry became a Christian. So did Amy. That's it. I'm out of time. This is good. Now, these animals, you know, if God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. If God did not want us to eat animals, he would not have made them out of meat. You know, my mother always used to say, Robert, don't talk with your mouth full on national radio. So let's go back to Colorado. Craig, go right ahead, Craig. Craig, are you there?
Bob. Yeah, you know, we've had our theological differences in the past, and I imagine we still got them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I'm glad to see that you're out here, and you do have a lot of good things to say. I'm glad to see that you're out here saying them.
Well, I appreciate that, Craig. And I, you know, I'm looking forward to when we get to heaven, all of us Christians, because then all those differences will go away.
Yeah, because then we're all going to see it clearly instead of through a glass darkly, aren't we?
Amen. And, Craig, I don't know what it's like for you, but for me, I remember being in high school as though it were yesterday. I was in high school. I clicked my heels, turned around three times, and now I'm in my 40s with seven kids.
Isn't that scary?
But so what's going to happen now, I'm going to turn around three more times, and I'll either be in my 80s or in heaven. It's going to be.
And hopefully by that time, God will find a use for both of us.
You're right. You're right. And so soon enough, we'll all be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Craig.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you're back on the air. I'm glad to see you're live here in Denver. And why don't you come on up and visit sometime? You know where I'm at.
That I do. That's a really gracious offer. Thank you. And, hey, Craig, you know, we got our shingle out at Denver Bible Church every Sunday. So if you come sometime, I'll introduce you to the congregation.
No, Oh, wait a minute, Bob. You know I'm a Lutheran. I don't dare enter that door.
We don't have any statues to fall down, so you don't have to worry about it. Hey, thank you, Craig.
See you later, Bob.
God bless you.
Bye.
Nice guy. And Craig and I disagree, but, you know, on the big things, we agree. On the big things. But people tend to focus on the things they disagree about. But, you know, that's normal because life is a battle against error. Error, lies, and deception. Jesus didn't go around agreeing with everyone. What, you know, when Jesus interacted with people, what percentage of the time was he simply agreeing with them or trying to be tolerant? There, you know, there's a, what kind of church is it in outside of Indianapolis? No, it's further south. I got to remember this church. Somebody who lives in Indiana saw a church and told us about it. And they had a sign out front. And the sign said, it's better to be nice than right. Now I'm asking my producer, is that what we were told? Is that what the sign said? It's better to be nice than to be right. What kind of church was it? Pentecostal church. It was a. Do we know the name of the church? Because somebody called in here, told us the name of the church. And actually, it was somebody from Indiana vacationing in Colorado and came to visit Denver Bible Church and said, hey, we thought of you, Bob, when we saw this church sign. It said, it's better to be nice than to be right. Some United, what did they say, United Pentecostal Church? In what city? In Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, I wonder if I could call information and try to get their phone number. Could somebody, let's see, what's the phone number for 411 these days? I don't know what's the phone number for information? Does that work? When I grew up, you used to
local
be able to dial.
Local and national directory assistance. For what city?
Bloomington.
For what state?
Indiana.
For what listing?
United Pentecostal Church.
Please wait while an operator searches for that information.
Such great service. You know, isn't it great that the phone company is employing less people to do this job that a drone can do? You know, if a machine could do a job, then a human could do a better job, a more fulfilling job, a more important job.
Please wait. An operator will be with you shortly.
Cool. Okay, ACLU, Arafat's crew of liberal Unabombers. Now, there we got something.
This is Jess. One moment.
Sure. One moment. United?
They have a listing on either Brummett's Creek Road or Curry Pike.
Can I have both of them?
Certainly. The one on Brummett's Creek Road is 812-339-0904.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The one on Curry Pike will follow for you.
Thank you for using Quest. The
It'll
number is
fall for
area
me.
Code 812-336-7224. You may return to directory assistance by pressing 0. Repeat. The number is area.
Now, I wonder which of those I should try first. We don't know, right? Should we try one of those? All right, I'm going to try one of these. Let's see. It's better to be right. It's better to be nice than to be right. Two ringy-dingies. Three ringy-dingies. Now, usually, there'd be no one in the church at this time of night, but hopefully an answering machine will pick up. Was it United Pentecostal? Was that it? We're trying to remember the staff here. I think it was. Where's the answering machine? All right, I'm going to try the other number. Let's see. All right. Because I want to understand that.
United Pentecost Church.
Hi, this is KLTT Radio in Denver, Colorado. Sir, we're hoping to talk to you just for a moment.
We're busy right at the moment.
You are. Are you a Pentecostal church?
Uh-huh. We're on service right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Could you talk just for one moment?
What do you need?
Well, we were looking for a church that had a sign out front in your area that said it's better to be nice than to be right. Would that have been your church?
No, it wasn't us.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Have a great service. I wonder what church that was. Okay, so here's the question we have. A church. Now, we're going to do some research, find out what church that was. We will find out, and we will get the name of the church, the address, and the phone number. Because this is the question I have. If unbelievers drive by and they see it's better to be nice than to be right, because this church, we were told, it's right on a major highway, and the sign is seen by thousands of people every day. So big church, it's better to be nice than to be right. So an unbeliever is driving by, and he thinks, hey, see that? If I don't believe in Jesus, as long as I'm nice, I'm better off. I'm better off just being nice. It's better to be nice than to be right. So, yeah, I don't believe in Jesus, and I might be wrong, but I'm a nice guy. And being nice is really what's important. But being nice is really not what's important. You know, I've always wondered how nice Elijah was. What do you guys think out there? Was Elijah nice? 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Was Elijah nice? Well, he mocked unbelievers, and he executed some of them, in fact. In fact, he executed a whole bunch of them. And right before he executed them, he was mocking them. Yeah, that's what it says in Kings. He was mocking them because they were desperately trying to communicate with their God who didn't exist. And Elijah was saying, and Elijah was getting ready to execute them. And he said, what's the matter? Maybe your God is on vacation. Why don't you shout louder? Perhaps he's asleep, or he might be in the bathroom. So shout a little louder. And then he executed them, 450 of them, and then God took him to heaven directly. God took Elijah directly to heaven. He didn't have to pass go, didn't collect $200. He didn't have to die. He went right to heaven. God liked him a lot. Let's go to Knoxville, Tennessee. We're going to go to a commercial break, Knoxville, but right after the break, we'll be with you. Is that all right, Kurt?
That's okay with me.
Okay, we'll be right back. All right, in a couple weeks, we're going to start adding callers to our live commercial breaks. Right? Not only do we do live commercials, but we're going to have callers help us do the commercials. Now, I know that's a little risky. I know you shouldn't always try these things at home, but we're going to try it. But we'll start that. We plan on starting that in July. So, right now, I want to tell you about the audio albums we have from our Bible studies. And if any of them sound interesting to you, then call us up, 1-888-8-NYART. Call us up and you can order an album. Now, most of the albums, just to give you an idea of prices, most of them have 6 tapes, and they're somewhere between 6 and 8 or 9 hours, depending on how much material's on a tape. And the 6-tape albums are $29.95. That's $30. And that when you purchase one of these, hopefully you'll enjoy it and love what you hear and learn. But also it helps us stay on the air and further this ministry. So we have Genesis. What in the book of Genesis would you like to learn about? We've got it on audio album. Creation, the fall, the flood, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We've got it. So give us a call if you're interested in Genesis. And boy, is it fun. Especially the fall. You know, when did Adam fall? When did he sin? That's such an interesting question. When did Adam sin? Was it years after God created him? Was it years? Well, you know, there are strong clues in the book of Genesis about when. You could really narrow it down. So call us, 1-888-8-N-U-R. All right, we're back. Bob and Yurt live. And we're going to Knoxville, Tennessee. Go right ahead, Kurt.
Hey, Bob. Just to give you a quick disclaimer here.
Yes.
The comments you hear are not necessarily the views of the host and may not even be the views of the caller after the call.
Okay, go ahead.
Got that out of the way.
That's
good. No, the only thing I was going to say is I noticed that you tried two UPC churches there.
Yeah.
And you know, even in the guy that you did get a hold of was kind of indicative of my point here. You know, I was in the UPC church for about 15 years myself, and the reason I'm not mainly is because they would rather be right than to be nice any day of the week. That's their motto.
They'd rather be right than nice.
Oh, they're you know, of course, everybody that argues thinks they're right. We understand
that. Right. You do and I do, right?
Sure. Almost anything. We go from that point that we think we are correct.
Well, that's why people argue. People say to me, Bob, you always think you're right. And I say, well, when do you argue when you think you're wrong? I mean, I don't get – that's something I just don't get.
That's what Albert Einstein said. If you keep arguing when you're wrong, then that's a sure sign that you're crazy. You know, that's paraphrased, of course.
Yeah, right.
But that's what he was saying.
That's pride and that's selfishness. If you know you're wrong and you keep arguing, you know, people – weakness has people do that. But
This thing about the UPC, I don't know who saw this sign or what, but I don't believe that would have been a UPC church. I've just been around them quite a bit myself, and they're very inclusive and very exclusive in the way they treat people. They're not the kind of people that will just say, come as you are. That's not their thing.
Well, let me ask you a question about that idea, it's better to be nice than to be right. It sounds like you're arguing that that's true.
No, not at all. Not by any stretch.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't believe that for a minute because I'm known as the hardhead guy on a lot of forums I'm on the internet. And trust me, that's why I listen to you a lot because I get some stellar information and techniques from listening to you.
Well, how do you listen in Knoxville?
Oh,
over the web?
I do have your website marked, and I love the GE commercial, by the way.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
I put that on the internet and on Delphi forums, and a lot of people have clicked on there, and it starts a whole lot of conversations. I like that.
Praise the Lord.
That's just a side note there. Yeah. No, I listen to you on satellite here. Actually.
On satellite, off of Information Radio Network.
Yes. I've been a friend of Larry Bates for about 10 or 12 years, and
Larry's...
I've been listening to his satellite,
yeah.
Consequently, because of that.
Well, that's great. Larry's from Tennessee originally, isn't
that
true?
Larry's from Memphis, and he went to University of Tennessee here in Knoxville.
All right.
He's a great person.
Right.
Fantastic guy.
Well, now, Kurt, what do you think of the point that this church, now we're going to nail it down exactly. You know, it just...
Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to do that, and hopefully maybe by tomorrow night.
I've got something I'd like to say about this, though.
Yeah.
Have you listened to Larry Bates' program at all this week, his Unraveling the New World Order program?
I've heard Larry often over the years.
Okay, he's had a pastor from Atlanta, Georgia named Price on there talking about the Jesus cult.
Right.
Which you're familiar with that book?
I've heard of the book, haven't read it.
Okay. This is a good question that came up, and a lot of this is teaching this stuff of, well, it's better to be nice and get along and all this. That concept is teaching another Jesus.
Mm.
It's not teaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's not the Bible.
Right.
It's not the Jesus or the Bible. And I think one of the things you said is, what would Jesus, you know, do is what did Jesus do?
And Kurt, if an unbeliever's driving by and the church sign says it's better to be nice than to be right, they can say, see, it doesn't even matter if I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
In fact, so many Christians say that you have to forgive everyone for everything without condition. And if that's true, then we Christians are teaching the world that repentance is unnecessary.
Well, I don't know where you stand on this issue, but that's why I have a tremendous problem with Calvinism, or even pseudo-Calvinism, I call it.
Let me interrupt you a little, Kurt, to say this. There are quite a few doctrinal debates that we don't deal with on the air.
Yeah.
Because if we did,
it starts a whole thing, doesn't it?
Never ending. And
yeah,
that's fine. We've staked out our territory. We've decided that the things we'll debate on the air with Christians,
yeah,
are the things that unbelievers are also interested in.
Can be edified by.
Understand.
And
the things,
and I appreciate that.
So here's what we do about predestination and free will.
Right.
We have an album called Predestination and Free Will, a six-hour seminar that I've done all over the country that we've recorded. And we have Bob Debates Predestination, where I debate a pastor on that topic. And so,
what pastor of what church, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I'll give his name.
Okay.
Pastor Brian Schwartley.
Okay.
And he's an author, and he's somewhat well-known. He and I both flew to Lansing, Michigan. And the debate was it was moderated for 2 hours by a talk show host there, John Mangopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a video, 2-hour video, and then we have about a 6-hour audio album on predestination and free will. What an interesting, fascinating topic.
Right. It's just that people mark their territory, and a lot of times they're not willing to think outside of what they've been traditionally taught. And I find that's what this whole thing with the Pastor Price on Larry Bates' program has been addressing.
Right.
Let's get real with the Word of God, and let's quit this, you know, well, my uncle said, my grandma said, regurgitated type things, and that really doesn't edify anybody. You know, to regurgitate something in public is rude and ugly to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should think for yourself. It's kind of like owning an exercise machine.
Yeah.
It's great to have a mind of your own,
right?
And it doesn't do you a bit of good if you have one and don't use it.
Hey, Kurt, somebody instant messaged me.
Yeah.
And here we go. They instant messaged me a link, and it put me to the churches in Bloomington, Indiana. And I'm on a page that has all the churches. So, hey, there are a lot of churches there.
Indiana is a hot spot for churches.
I guess so.
Well, the UPC is, I think, headquartered in Indiana,
United,
if I'm not mistaken.
United Pentecostal Church, 515 South Curry Pike. All right, now that might be... That's
are you familiar with the UPC very much, Bob?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, you know what their belief and standards are, correct? In other words, they don't believe in women cutting hair. Women don't wear pants,
and men can't have long hair
or beards or mustaches, even in some of the assemblies.
Right.
Which I always kind of protested that.
Yeah, yeah.
I always, you know, lived on the edge. I was dangerous.
Here we have 3210 West Fullerton Pike. We have South Handy Road, South Harrell Road. No, we can't. All right, we can't spot the church. So anyway, okay, Kurt. So, yeah, I know churches have some peculiar rules. And in the Bible, it says that Paul in Colossians 2 talks about self-imposed religion.
Yes.
That has the appearance of humility.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, in reality, it's of the flesh. It's of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So it's not good to have a church and to make up your own rules.
Yeah, especially when you start tying it to people's salvation.
Oh, yeah, that's real bad.
That's scary, because what you're doing is you're saying,
right,
we're the door, and we know what Jesus said to people that did that.
Right. Now, I know, let's just give a vague example here, and only the sharpest people in the audience will figure out what I'm saying. But how about, obviously, alcoholism is a huge problem. But what's a bigger problem, alcoholism or legalism in the Church of Jesus Christ? Which is a bigger problem for the world.
Are those the only two choices?
Yeah, of those two, which is bigger?
The world would have a problem with legalism.
Yeah, well, I mean, which is truly a bigger problem to the world? Christians who are legalists or alcoholism?
Oh, for the world themselves?
Yeah.
Oh, alcoholism in the world.
Well, all right. I'm gonna leave that out.
I flip-flopped on you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm going to leave that out there for next week.
Okay.
Hey, Kurt, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Bob.
God bless you. Now we're going to South Bend, Indiana. Viola.
Hello, Bob.
Howdy.
I would say that legalism is very dangerous, and so is alcohol.
I agree. They're both dangerous, and I'm wondering which is more dangerous.
Probably legalism.
If the Christian church is legalistic versus the alcoholism in the world, which is the bigger problem for promoting the gospel and changing lives?
Legalism.
Hey, you're sharp, Viola.
I want to tell you something, Bob.
Yeah.
A few years ago, there was another minister, Bundy, Edgar Bundy, very good minister. He passed the church. I believe it was him. He passed the church, Oral Roberts University.
Yeah.
And on the marquee, it said, Mikhail Gorbachev speaking. And there were like 5,000 people there to see him. And I forgot how much they paid, I believe.
To hear Gorbachev, who's a communist.
Right.
And hates God. And he's got a map of the hammer and sickle on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been tattooed there.
And it was Oral Roberts University.
That is tragic,
isn't it? That's another example of a church that's, what is it, legalism?
Yeah, that is sad. Now, are you sure of that, Viola?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Hey,
this
thank you.
This minister said he turned around and went back and drove again, and he said to his wife, "Is that what I saw?" And he drove back.
Is that what I thought I saw? What I saw, I saw? Thank you, Viola.
You're welcome.
God bless
Have
you.
A good night, Bob.
All right.
Thank you.
Now in Walkerton, Indiana, Talia.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm very nervous.
That's okay.
I was just sitting here listening about the UPC church, and I just wanted to let you know that I was converted to the UPC church when I was 16.
Yeah.
From the Lutheran church, and the man was talking about legalism.
Right.
And I just want you to know that, you know, the UPC church does not say that, you know, those rules are salvation rules.
Okay, so
I just want to clarify that.
So
everybody sets their own standards.
Right. So you're defending your church against the caller from Tennessee, who said there was some real legalistic rules in the church.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there are rules. There are not rules, but, you know, the Bible is specific about things like how women should dress and how men should dress.
The Bible has a lot of rules in it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify that because there's a lot of people, you know, anybody could come to our church. And, yeah. And you know, I started going to this church at the age of 16, mm-hmm. and, I you know, I didn't wear dresses and things like that. And I don't want people to be afraid to come to a church like that. I just want to clarify
now,
that.
I would never, ever ask a woman how old she is. Talia, I wonder, when did you start going to that church? How long ago?
5 years ago. Oh. I'm 21.
Okay. Oh, I blew it. Okay, so, hey, Talia, thank you for calling in and explaining that. And sometime on the show, we will talk about some of those rules about how you should dress and whether you should wear a hat, or if you can have music in your church or stuff like that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, Toya. All right. Now, compared to last night, tonight was a pretty mellow show. Right? I mean, how often do you get to do a show and eat some animals during a show? How often could you do a radio show that airs all over the country and eat some animals in honor of PETA? In honor of PETA. Because remember, Jesus cooked some fish after the resurrection. In the Mediterranean Sea, there. Oh, no. The Sea of Galilee, they got good fish.